thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Faith or fear. If you have your Bible, if you would like to turn to Daniel 3, I'm going to do a bit of a plane journey to get to Daniel 3 this morning. So as you turn, I'm going to sort of give you some context of sort of where we are in Scripture. So as you're turning, this book is set in the time of the people of Israel in captivity and in exile to the place of Babylon. And this follows the story of Daniel, a young Israelite, and a couple of his friends. Babylon was a strong religious sort of place, but for the false religions of the day, they worshipped idols and gods and prayed to everybody. And so sort of to put your mind to where these young Israelites would have been is, this would have been really difficult to follow Yahweh in these moments because of everything around them. Daniel probably lived around the 6th century before Jesus. And throughout the entire Old Testament, God is putting prophets in place to constantly say, if the people of Israel do not serve God, then they will be taken into captivity. And this is one moment where the southern kingdom of Judah is taken by the Babylonians. And it's a period of time that this happens. But in 605 BC, around that sort of time, King Nebuchadnezzar, or Neb as we'll call him, began to take Jerusalem. And what he tried to do, one of his techniques was to deport a young elite of Israelites. So the young elite. So Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were part of this. And he took them back then to the place of Babylon. And if you've read the book of Daniel, it's beautiful. From sort of 1 to 6, it's this story of Daniel and his friends about interpreting dreams and seeing the providence of the Lord. And in 7 to 12, we see this sort of apocalyptic teaching, a bit like the book of Revelation. But it's an amazing book. I remember listening to a sermon one time, and he said this. He said, every time you preach the word of God, it's like you're flying on a plane and you jump out and parachute into the middle of a story. There's always something that's happened before, and there's always something that happens after. And so in Daniel 1, the first thing we see, these guys get tested around the food that they eat. And so these guys stand strong and say, I'm only going to drink water and vegetables. And they were like worried because, but you're not going to look as strong, you're not going to be as good as these men who are on this diet. But then the Lord prevails, ensures that they are healthy, probably the most healthy, and actually give them wisdom as well for the culture. In chapter 2, we then read that the king Neb has a dream. No one's able to sort of give an interpretation of it, but then Daniel prays, gets the interpretation, and prophesies of the coming kingdoms and gets promoted. And then we arrive at chapter 3. And I was going to say sorry, but I'm not going to say sorry for reading so much of the Bible this morning, because this is the best thing we'll hear this morning, because the Word of God is alive. And so we're going to read all of chapter 3. It should be on the screen, I think. Maybe not, but that's fine. Chapter 3 says this. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned all these people, and then all the officers came to the dedication of the image that he had set up. And so all these people again and all their other officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up and stood before it. Then the herald proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, it's like a rap, all the nations of the people and every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of your province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Verse 13, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. 22, I know it's long, but near there. The king's command so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all these people again crowded around them, and they saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was there a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of God of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their homes turned upside down into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Lastly, the king then promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And we all said, "Amen, we're through there now." This morning, my first point is, if you're taking notes, is this: what leads your life? What leads your life? And as we go through from verses 1 to 7, we see the king Neb thinks he is the man. Right? He thinks he is the best of the best. He decides that he is worth building a golden statue of. It was so big that, for reference, it probably would have been about 10 stories high. That's how large it was. And he didn't just assume that he was worthy of a gold statue, but he assumed that he was worthy of worship. And so he got this sort of band together that every time this sound would have appeared, that everybody in the surrounding areas must come by and worship this statue. See, I read this story, and probably we read this story, and we're like, would you have done it? Like, let's be honest. Would you have came and worshipped this statue? I think I may have stood up for myself. But then when we read verse 6, it says, whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. I kind of do a 180. I'm like, maybe would have, right? Because the outcome is certain death. It's not a sort of quote. It's not just an analogy, the blazing furnace. This was the reality for people who disobeyed King Nebuchadnezzar's thoughts. This was the method that people of Babylon actually used to those who are disobedient. In Jeremiah 29:22, it says this, because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. May the Lord treat you like Zedekiah, I think, from here in Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned in the fire. So this is before this moment in Daniel, but again, showing that actually this was a method used. And so when the king comes and says, if you don't worship me, you'll be thrown into the blazing fire, they're not thinking, is he having me on? Surely he wouldn't throw me into a fire. But they actually would have heard of the stories in history and thought, this guy's not joking. The reality is, if I don't just come and bow to this statue, I'm dead. See, this would have frightened people. It would have caught the attention. So every time they would have heard the noise, exactly in their moment, they had to choose obedience to the king or there was death. When I was reading about this noise that was made, the one universal noise that I thought of that made me go to something when I was a kid was, did anyone have like the pokey van or the ice cream van come around your street when you were younger? Yeah? You know that sound? I don't want to do it, but like, you know the sound that a pokey van makes? And once you hear it, every kid just goes to the window, right? It's like, oh, where's the pokey van? And I kind of think it's a moment like that. They hear this sound and they're like, not with excitement about getting a 99 with a flake and chocolate sauce, but with like fear. Oh, here's the sound again. Oh, I have to go and I have to worship this statue. The sound would have been universal. They would have heard it and they would have understood, and fear would have shook them every time they heard it. The sound would have played and the people would have responded, because disobedience wasn't just harm, but it was sure death. You see, in the province of Babylon, for everybody who lived, the king led their life. Fear led their life. Who leads yours? Who leads mine? See, if our faith was measured against death, right? If your faith was measured against certain death, would you give in or stand up? Think about it for 30 seconds. If your faith for God meant sure death, would you stand up or would you give in? The option was easy. Be obedient to the king and live, but then be disobedient to the King of Kings. Exodus 23 says this, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that this was not just a nice idea, but this was a command from the Lord. And no matter what was in front of them, they were obedient to this. Who led their lives? The Lord. In every moment and in every day, no matter what was facing them, no matter the thought of the furnace, they said, we will not bow down to your statue. And so often we get faced with opportunities for sin, for temptations to bow down to the idols that we would build in our lives. And a definition of an idol that I think is helpful is anything that takes priority over God in your life. Sometimes for me, I slip up and football takes an idol place in my life. Sometimes I slip up and my fiance Holly takes an idol place in my life. But I have to fall back to this truth that you shall have no other gods before me. And I have to bow the knee and say, sorry, Lord, would you make me like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That even if there was a furnace awaiting my decision, that you would still lead my life. You see, these young believers made a decision that no matter what came their way, no matter what would face them, they would follow the Lord. The Lord leads their lives. Who leads ours? Second point is this. If we follow sort of down in the story, go to verse 16 to 18, is this radical faith. Radical faith. I said a story, I mentioned her like 2 seconds ago, but my fiance Holly, what a woman, right? I'm so excited for her to come up to church and get to meet all you guys and get to know you all. But when I tell you this, I'm saying the truth. I wouldn't lie from a platform. My fiance makes the best apple crumble, right? She makes the best apple crumble. It's like a good like apple to crumble ratio, you know? Not too sour, not too sweet. It is always the best. Anytime we have to go to like a friend's house on a Saturday evening, I'm like, Holly, make that apple crumble. Because it's always the best. And I say this because why do I know that? Like, why do I think Holly's apple crumble is the best? Not because I love her, right? But because I've tasted it, and I've experienced it, and I've had it time and time again. And so I don't have to put a faith in something that is unseen, but actually I know it because I've tasted it and had it nearly every Saturday night, right? But this story baffles me, right? In verse 16 to 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. In this matter, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. See, this is radical faith, because me and Holly, I can tell you she makes the best apple crumble because I've tasted it and I've experienced it. But there's no other moment before this that God saved someone from a burning furnace. There's no other moment that someone went into a furnace of that heat and walked out alive. But these guys trusted him. They had radical faith that the God who they serve would keep them through it all. Do we have radical faith? Faith that would say, even though I haven't seen someone delivered from this moment before, even if I haven't walked through it myself, that I trust the Lord is good and the Lord can, and that our faith would carry us to obedience no matter what it looks like. You see, the trust wasn't that the Lord would prevent it, but the Lord would save them in it. You see, they had radical faith that even if they weren't saved, that the Lord's way is the way. Even if they wouldn't get through the furnace, they would not serve the false gods. What about us? Because we do live in a society and we go through things that are so difficult that we will have furnace moments. We will have moments where in front of us that we have to either deny God in a way and serve this, or if we do not deny the Lord, we may be hit with a furnace moment. A loss of friends, financial struggles, getting left from a job, family members not talking to us. Is our faith radical enough to say, God, whatever may be, I will trust in you? We need radical faith, church. Radical faith, because the world we're called to and the obedience we're called to needs it. And just before we go on to sort of my last couple of points, I would love to pray for us in that moment. If you would like to close your eyes, and this isn't the end, but, and again, no one has to do this if you want, but if you feel like in moments this week or the past few weeks that are coming, that you need radical faith, faith that is a gift from the Holy Spirit, if you would just stand, no one else is going to look. If you want to stand, I'm just going to pray a prayer for us. Feel like I need radical faith this morning. Stand. Father God, I thank you for those standing, and I thank you for the ones maybe who are seated who get a wee bit nervous. I thank you, God, that you are the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. And I pray, Father God, for every person who needs it this morning, that Holy Spirit, would you fill them with faith? Holy Spirit, would you give them the gift of faith that would be obedient to you no matter what would come, no matter what would be before them, that they would say, Lord, your way is the way. And Father God, I pray you would give them grace, you would give them mercy, and you would give them faith to stay obedient to the call that you have for their lives. So we pray the fresh Spirit of God, would you fill us? In your name we pray. Amen. Second last point, this is a really good quote, says this about radical obedience. Radical obedience to Christ is not easy. It's not comfort. It's not health. It's not wealth. And it's not prosperity in this world. Radical obedience to Christ risks losing all things. But in the end, such risk finds its reward in Christ. And he is more than enough for us. He is more than enough for us. My third point this morning is this, the powerful provision. And it's sort of from 19 to 30. Don't have loads of time this morning, so we're not going to read it. But basically, we read in this moment of the furnace that he asked for seven times hotter. There's no need to make it seven times hotter, right? No need at all. The furnace was way warm enough that anybody who would have entered it would have been killed. But the writer, the author, probably Daniel, says this point to show the extremeness of the heat. To show you again and us again that there is zero chance of survival. Not one. Not even an opportunity. Certain death. In this moment, it looks like obedience to King Jesus seemed to lead where there was no return. And it even says that, again, show the heat and show that what was facing them, that the men leading Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to the furnace were killed as they just threw them in. That's how warm and hot this furnace was. But imagine for a moment, what would you have done? Imagine you're bound, right? You're bound and you're being led towards like the furnace. And as you get closer, the heat's starting to hit your face. And you're starting to see the heat and you're starting to see the flames. And you know there's a way out of this. There's a way out of this. All I need to do is just bow and worship one time. All I need to do is bow and worship. And the heat's building and the flames are there. And it's starting to burn your skin and you're starting to feel it. You see these guys die. What would you have done? Give in or stand firm, because there was absolutely no hope. Their fate was sealed. Now, we have the privilege of knowing the end of the story, but I love King Neb's response. Was there not three were casted into the fire? I'm sure he was just sitting there counting. One, two, three, four? One, two, three. Here, is there not three we cast into the fire there? And there's this moment where he's like, oh, this man looks like the Son of God, or Son of Gods. And I'm not going to stoke the fire in the argument of who was in the furnace. Was it the Lord or was it an angel? We can agree to disagree around that. But what there is in this moment is God met them in the moment of the fire. Baffled and confused, he calls them out. Come out, come here. How do you not even smell of fire? How is there none of your clothes even singed? You see, this was a powerful provision of the Lord. Because they were obedient to him, even at the point of death, that he saved them from the furnace. No chance of survival, but yet not even a mark. And you see, I really feel like this is a point for some people in our church this morning. And so please, hopefully the Holy Spirit would allow you to sense this for you. But you see, the Lord never prevented them from the furnace. The Lord didn't shut the door. He didn't stop them from going in. But he actually met them in the fire. He met them in the fire. And I know there's a lot of people in our church this morning who are going through some things. And you wish, if you could write the script, that I wouldn't have to go through this. I wish there was another way. But actually, the Lord didn't prevent them from going in. But what he did was kept it from hurting. Kept it from them being destroyed. Kept them from them being killed. And I believe there's some people in here this morning who are in the furnace. Who are in the difficulty of life. And things have crept up time and time again. But I really feel like this is affirming for you this morning. That the Lord's with you. That actually you will walk out of the door. And there won't be a flame on your garment, there will be nothing of even smoke. Not of this situation will stick to you. I am with you. See, obedience takes us to the furnace. It takes us in it. But the Lord leads us through it. And another interesting point, God never opened the door. King Nebuchadnezzar did. But what did he do? He kept them long enough so that when the door opened, they could walk through free. And so sometimes you may be saying, God, where's this door opening? Where's this moment that I can get out of this mess? I can't do this anymore. Trust him. Trust him. Because one day the door will open and you will walk out unscarved and unharmed because he will hold you through it. See, See, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is powerful. He provided at the moment of need. God may not do it your way. He may not do it the way you think it should go, but he will do it his way. And I can testify from my young life of 22, his way is the best way. Even in the moment if it hurts, even in the moment that all I can see is flames, even in the moment that all I can see is hurt around me, trust him, because he will hold you and he will keep you through the furnace. He is a powerful provider in times of need. I'm going to ask Karis to come up and jump on the keyboard, and she's going to lead us in something in a second. But one last point. It's this. What if it was only once? What if it was only once? And verse 13 to 15 says this. Furious with rage. Actually, no, go down. Furious with rage. King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of all these instruments and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown into the furnace immediately. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" And I sense God say this for me, but also this room. What if it was only once? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actually high up in this Babylonian society. They actually had the ear of the king, like Daniel, because of the sort of verses before. So surely, if they would have just bowed down and worshipped the statue of gold once, imagine the good they could have went on to do. They had the king's ear. They could have influenced the place of Babylon for God. They could have said, do this king, and see God move. But instead, they weren't willing to do it, and they were going to die. Surely they should have done it once. Once to save so many people, or don't and die. It seemed that they chose death when a lot of us wouldn't have chose that. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 says this: "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only is fearful expectance of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." And I have just this sense, church, that this morning we've had a couple of moments where we're like, well, just do this once. What if it's only once? Like, I'll go out with my work friends once and, you know, I'll be able to influence them for God. Or young people, I'll go to that party once and, you know that I can stand firm, but I'll go once, but it doesn't turn into once. Or, you know, like football, like I'll only go to it for one day a week. It won't take over my life. Or my family, I'll obey them once and I'll maybe not come to church, or I won't serve God in this. I'll only do it once because look at all the good I can do after it. Look at all the successful things I can do for the Lord once I do it. If I don't do it, they'll go out of my life. I'll lose an opportunity. What if it's only once? What if it's only once? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, not even once. You will serve no other gods before me. And so that was the decree of their life, that they wouldn't put another idol in front of them. No idol of family, no idol of work, no idol of friends, no idol of finance, no idol of anything. It has to be the Lord first. And I know for some of us, life creeps up. And I've said and assured, life creeps up in me. I make idols out of things that I shouldn't. But actually bowing to anyone but the Lord is false worship. And we're going to go into a song in a second called "I Want Jesus." And it's simply, you may know it, you may not know it. It says, "I want Jesus. I want him. I want Jesus. You can take this world, but give me him." And if I could ask you to stand. And sometimes when we come to church, we'd say it's a family, and it is. But I really sense that this moment is individually for us. And some of us know that I've prioritized this above God and I've prioritized that above God. I don't mean to, but it creeps up and I don't know what to do. I just get this sense of the Lord to ask, when was the last time you bowed before him? When was the last time you gave everything over to him? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to a god made out of gold and said they would only worship and bow to the King of Kings. And so this morning we're going to go into this song, and if I feel a sense of this, and if you're willing and able, what I would love you to do is to kneel before the Lord and to just say, Lord, would you tear down every idol that I will build up in my life? God, would you take priority in this again? I want you. Jesus, you can take this world, but give me him. So if you're willing and able this morning, that's something you feel like you want to do. But if you feel like you can't do that this morning, lift your hands. But this is between you and God. It's not about the person to your right or left. Don't let pride or ego get in the way, but worship him and give him back your life this morning. God, I pray that this wouldn't just be a song this morning. God, I pray, would this be the truth of our lives, that you can take this world, you can take every financial gain, every celebrity gain, every prosperity gain in this world, but as long as you are our main thing and our one thing, then it's good. God, I thank you for moments like this when we get to surrender our plans and our goals and our wants and our desires and say, God, make us like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that actually no matter what may come, you will lead our lives. It's all about you. It's always been about you. And God, help us trust that and know that this morning. God, I pray that this wouldn't just be a tokenism bit of worship, but God, I pray would this formulate our weeks, that we would care more about pleasing you, God, than we would about ourselves. That God, in this moment, we would just say, we want Jesus. You can take this world, you can take everything, as long as I have you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.